Welcome to Box Office Battle, where we take forgotten hits, old-ass classics, blah blah blah, and smush them together for the right to be on Mount Valhalla. I'm Biggs.
I'm the Beard.
I'm Zach.
So today we're doing the movies of Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, now that Parks and Rec is done and she's not regularly on our air.
Yeah, so I'm going to pour out an imaginary beer to Aubrey Plaza right now.
But really,
and then
don't.
I'm going to drink a real one.
Yeah, I'm going to pour it out into my mouth.
All right, gentlemen, who's going first?
I'm going to defer this one to Zach.
I pointed at Brandon before he said that.
Judge.
I'm going to let Zach go first.
All right, great. I'm doing a little movie called Mystery Team.
And what are you doing, Brandon?
I'm going to be pitting that up against Safety Not Guaranteed.
Okay.
Mystery Team is a independent comedy film made by the sketch group Derek Comedy. It's about a trio who gained fame in their small town as kid detectives solving mysteries like the case of the missing cat or the case of the stolen baseball, things of those nature. Except for now, they're about to graduate high school and they've remained as naive as ever. They still know nothing about girls, still think they have cooties and are gross, and are still solving mysteries for the neighborhood children and dressing like little kids, like they are in a complete state of arrested development. So one day, a little girl comes to their stand and pays a dime for them to take her case. And she asks that they solve the murder of her parents, who were both killed the night before. They decide that they're going to take the case in hopes that it will prove to all the adults in the town that they're real detectives. And this puts them in line with Aubrey Plaza, who plays the older sister, whose parents have been lost. She keeps telling them to stay off the case and to let the cops handle it because they are clearly just for real morons. Just have no true comprehension of what a crime is or how one would go about solving said crime. There's a lot of humor to be mined from their naivety and their childish nature. But eventually, through a series of some luck, some things breaking in their favor, a little bit of being in the right place at the right time, and knowing some people like Bobby Moynihan, who plays... Bobby Moynihan plays a convenience store clerk who has been helping the kids out and giving them a free ice cream for every mystery they solve since they were little kids. And he likes to think of him as their mentor because they're still doing it, man. All these years later, we're still living our dreams. And they go out and they're able to prove to Aubrey Plaza that they can be real detectives by retrieving their dead mother's ring, which had been stolen by the murderer, given to another guy who then took it to a strip club, fingered a stripper, and lost the ring inside of her. this puts them in the path of a much bigger conspiracy from the owners of a lumberyard who fought off the unions to get lower rate employees and are coating their wood in an extremely poisonous coating to try to save money. And they end up figuring out who the killer is. And that only ends up with them being held hostage, them along with Aubrey Plaza, by said killer. A few shootings later, and the day is saved, and the mystery team has been legitimized, and they've grown up a little in the process. Two of the members are going to college. One, because of a party he went to in disguise pretending to be an adult, has a job in health technology and is taking private eye classes at night to finally become the detective he dreamed about.
All right, Brandon.
So my little film, Safety Not Guaranteed, Aubrey Plaza has a much more involved role in it. She plays a young intern at a magazine. They get this scoop on a story that there's a classified ad run in a local newspaper that said, have time travel, willing to take on a partner, safety not guaranteed, must bring your own weapon. There's more involved in the actual description of the, but basically it's just kind of a bizarre classified ad. And so they want to find out what's behind this story. So they go to this little town in Washington, about halfway between Seattle and Portland, up on the coast. And they show up, and the actual guy who's writing the story first shows up and knocks on the door of the guy who... first they had to stake out the... In the ad, there was a P.O. box that they listed in there. So they stake out the P.O. box, find out who's been checking the mail at the P.O.'s box, get an address, show up, the guy who's writing the story knocks on the door, starts talking to him. Immediately, the guy who is played by
Mark Duplass.
From the league. Pete,
basically just doesn't want him to take him on as a partner. And so they can't get near the guy because he comes off as almost a really greasy guy who you would buy beer from maybe if you were a young teen. Got a mullet, like a fake ear. Like, he's kind of a creepy dude.
And he's very reclusive. Which does not help the image.
So they decide to have Aubrey Plaza try and get near him and take on being the partner to go on this journey through time. So she goes and actually like starts hitting it off with him. They start training for their mission together. They reveal a lot of intimate secrets to one another. I guess the Aubrey Plaza's mother had been killed in the year, so they decide to make their mission to go back in time and help the mother not get murdered. Sorry about that.
Even though the mystery team had already solved the crime.
You get your turn. So it goes back and forth. There's kind of a, is this guy for real? Air about him. You never quite know whether or not the guy's like legitimately a time traveler or just like a crazy person who lives in a house in the woods. I mean, he spends a lot of time like training with swords and just kind of like knows karate, just that kind of creepiness.
But does he know karate?
He knows the redneck woods karate.
So no.
It's basically like in the what's that show with?
If you've ever watched the Portland Trailblazers, he's like Chris Kaman, but without the beard.
I was going to say he was like Mac from Always Sunny.
Yeah, that was more or the Danny McBride show.
Eastbound
and Down. That's more of the karate level he knows.
But he's not as snazzy of a dresser as Danny McBride.
No.
The
he's like Danny.
Shirts.
Well, you don't have that baseball money.
The snakeskin shoes. No, if he could be legitimized, he would totally be in Danny McBride. But they keep training.
Hold on. If he was legitimized, did you watch the same Eastbound and Down that I watched?
Either that or we define legitimate very differently.
Legitimized in their own mind.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
So they actually find out that the feds have actually been following this guy because he had broke into a lab down in Colorado. He broke into a medical development facility, stole a bunch of high-tech stuff, and has actually built a time machine. And in the middle of the lake, the very end, they vanish.
So the first thing most people notice about the movie is that it's very much the star-making turn for Donald Glover as the main mystery team member. You can see why he was picked up to be a writer on 30 Rock, especially at a young age, because this movie has the same sort of comedic philosophy in that if you make a ton of jokes and have a lot of clever wordplay and do a lot of rapid fire punchlines, if people don't like one joke, just wait 30 seconds and you'll probably laugh at the next one. And they do a good job of loading it up with more hits than misses. It's also, you get to see a lot of the tricks that Donald Glover would go on to pull out of the bag in Community, like his hysterical screaming fits, and anytime he gets hurt is fantastic physical comedy.
You're right, there was a lot of physical comedy where he gets hurt and cries like a little 6-year-old child. Which is really off-putting. You don't know what you're going to getting into that. But what you really get is the emotional involvement of the editor of the magazine who's writing this story really wants to connect and knock boots with a girl he had got a BJ from in this little town they had to show up in. That's the type of talent they really have in Safety Not Guaranteed.
I would just like to take a quick moment before I make my point to point out that Safety Not Guaranteed was written by someone who apparently believes it's possible to pick up chicks by playing the zither.
Hey, it works.
Yeah.
It actually worked.
Because the writer said so.
I will say, if said person is playing the zither and has a lot of confidence, it'll work.
And a bitchin' mullet.
It doesn't matter what you do, you just have to have confidence. Hey, the other and not thing, be butt ugly.
The other thing you have to do is surround yourself by a really other... They had one, another third person in this team who is just the geekiest guy on the planet. You're like, when you look, stand next to that, you look a lot more attractive.
There's some amazing small casting choices in Mystery Team that pay off in hysterical ways, such as Ellie Kemper as a developmentally slowed teenager in the town, the same age as the Mystery Team boys. She grew up with them, and much like them, she has not aged out of her childhood phase, so she still serves a purpose in their life by wearing overalls and pigtails, riding up on her bike and letting them know when someone's cat is stuck up a tree or someone's diary gets stolen. And it's the classic Ellie Kemper sunniness that allows them to sell an entire moment with her that has nothing to do with anything other than being used to compare the Mystery Team to her, wherein she starts a conversation with the trash can and gets upset when it does not respond, so proceeds to kick it over.
You know, I didn't realize that was Ellie Kemper when I watched that. But now you say that, it totally is.
It could only be her.
So I will give the props for that. So they also had another cast member in this who I can't think of his name. Red-haired guy.
Matt Walsh.
Who plays
Upright Citizens. Yeah.
Who plays a really drunk guy at the party, the lumberyard.
I'm pretty sad. Don't be like me.
And convinces his buddy to take a shit in the punch bowl. And they actually had him show up and take a dump, like Rob Trout. Like, they didn't show him actually shitting, but getting up on the table to take a dump. That's the type of class you're showing in your movie. Mine shows a way higher class, where they actually throw a party with a bunch of underage kids and have coitus.
Yeah, classy.
This is what I'm bringing.
Now, I will concede that Safety Not Guaranteed has a sweetness and a heart that Mystery Team does not, but that's because Mystery Team uses its sweetness to its comedic advantage, primarily by juxtaposing these very innocent, childlike characters with extremely raunchy adult situations, such as while running away from the bouncer at the strip club that I alluded to earlier. Donald Glover ducks into a room, and remember, this is someone who's never kissed a girl, and he ducks into a room to hide, only to see a man stripped naked with his legs up by his head and his arms handcuffed together with a stripper pouring milk in his butt.
Wow. I mean, you went full turkey on that one.
Everybody knows
you don't go full turkey. The one thing I really want to bring out with Safety Not Guaranteed is how well this film was shot for the limited budget. It was actually a fairly beautiful movie. There was a lot of great scenes where they're shot out over the ocean. A lot of the forest scenes were beautifully shot. Not so much with Mystery Team. When I was watching that, I mean, it was like watching the Goosebumps movie or TV show, where it is like, looks like it was shot with a VHS camera and edited by a bunch of 6-year-olds. So it was really rough to watch.
Yeah, it's almost as if teenagers don't have millions of dollars. So the Aubrey Plaza, I haven't talked to her about her a lot, and that's because she's probably only in about a third of the movie, but she has one of the most important roles to play in the film. First, in that she is actively involved with setting the plot in motion, but also in that the only way there can be any suspension of disbelief in this movie, and the only way this movie can be grounded enough for the plot to work on any level, is if you have some way to give a sense of a real world outside of these three kids. And they do that in a lot of different ways, by showing them, there's a scene in their high school showing how they exist among other teenagers, and you can see how the adults in the town react to them. But the primary way is by watching someone who's similar to them in a lot of ways, the Aubrey Plaza character, who doesn't have a lot of friends, in her case because she moved a lot, and so understands that need to stay with your friends and continue doing the things you love, but also to be constantly bewildered that three 18-year-olds could possibly be like this. And that bewilderment, which she plays off in that dry, sarcastic way she does so well, leads to a lot of laughs just in its own, just from her trying to understand how someone can be considered a boy genius because they memorized a book of trivia facts from the 50s that includes such great tidbits as, one day, by the year 2000, the average personal computer will be smaller than your bedroom.
Now, the other thing I really want to bring up with Safety Not Guaranteed is there's a lot of stuff that you really have to, like, focus to understand, like, really bring into the movie. And there's a lot of stuff, a lot of parts where you're really wondering about Mark Dumbleo's character, whether he's really just a crazy, crazy person or a legitimate person. I mean, you see him in one scene where he's talking to another cashier. He's also a cashier. He's a cashier at a local convenience store, and he's talking to another cashier, just like bringing out his insanely sounding theories. But so you don't really get a grasp of whether this guy is legit or not. And so you always get that in the writing. You don't get whether he's a legitimate person or just a crackpot, somebody who wears an armadillo hat.
So this is the last thing I'll point out for now, and it's just that Donald Glover, who went on to make a lot of money as a rapper, as well as a writer and comedian and performer.
And potential Spider-Man.
He managed... This is where you see the beginning of his musical talent. He composed the score for the film, and it's not... I mean... far and away the most incredible original score you've ever heard. But what it does show is that he's capable of doing things musically outside of what he became known for. And also that he understands how important a score can be in setting a tone in the film, where the music in the film always plays as if it's from the character's perspective, as if it would be the music they would hear in their heads during the scene, which is something I think works really well.
The last thing I'm going to say about Safety Not Guaranteed was the final scene of the film, where they're getting on the time machine. You know, all the way up leading, you're really wondering whether or not this is a legitimate thing. I mean, that's the whole reason behind the story, whether, you know, this is a guy just being a crackpot, trying to lure people off into the woods and do whatnot with it, or whether he's a legitimate person. And you see, like, he actually even proved to the feds that he built something that will vanish you.
So you never, at the very least, that's a useful military application.
So you never really know whether or not they actually time traveled, but they're gone at the end of the movie. So you got that going for you.
Okay. I started listening to guys' arguments and then I just started to space out. Sorry. No, I mean, I've listened to both of your arguments. I've noticed that we're starting to get catchphrases on the show.
Yeah, we are.
So I wanted to shake it up a little bit. Okay, so normally the movie that I've seen and love, I would go with. And Brandon, you picked Safety Not Guaranteed. And I love that movie. It's really funny. I thought it was great when I saw it. Like, I saw it on a recommendation from Zach, who I believe brought it into the Myrna Loy.
Sure did.
And I love Aubrey Plaza, and I know she's in at least like an hour and 15 minutes of that movie.
Yeah, she's in the majority of the movie.
Yeah. Zach, your movie sounded really funny. You had like great cast that you kept spinning out as you're talking about it, and you made Brandon laugh a bunch of times, which like makes me think that was really funny. But ultimately, I'll tell you why I'm picking Safety Not Guaranteed, which is the winner. Mm-hmm. I'll just throw that out on the front screen. But here's why. I love the ending to that movie. It is absolutely the perfect ending. They probably traveled in time.
I like to believe they did.
Yeah, but they don't really spell it out for
you.
Like, it could be a delusion. It could have just evaporated, yeah. Like you said, like very well. And I always love the ambiguity of an ending if it's done right. And this movie was really done right.
It handles
right.
It perfectly.
Yeah. So that's why I'm going to pick Safety Not Guaranteed. But I will say, I'm going to watch your movie, and I'm not even going to like sugarcoat it. I'm actually going to watch your movie.
And
I say that a lot.
It's a breezy 90
minutes. Dude, I'm a whore for making sure the other person doesn't feel bad a lot of the time, but I'm actually going to watch your movie.
It's really funny.
Okay, so for all the reasons I just said, I'm going to give Safety Not Guaranteed like an excellent. I just enjoyed that movie all around, and yeah, I already stated my case for that. So
sure.
I got to go incomplete on yours because I haven't seen it yet.
I don't think it's any secret that I very much love Safety Not Guaranteed, as evidenced by the fact that I brought it to my theater. And I will give it an excellent as well. The thing I that really sells me on that movie is the sort of earnest beating heart it has. And it treats its characters with a lot of care. Like the way it's written, it's as though it's someone writing about the people they love. And that really shines through in the script and in the story and in the way things are presented. And the place I think the film really excels is in those small moments. Like when Jake Johnson's character is with his old high school flame and they're eating breakfast, or when they wake up from the drunken party with the high schoolers the next morning. Like the little moments in the quiet amongst the sort of craziness of the greater plot, I think blend together really well. I've bounced back and forth between an excellent minus and a satisfactory plus for Mystery Team. And I'll talk myself into one of them by the end of this. But the reason I have such trouble is the movie is so, it makes me laugh so much that I can't help but love it. But Brandon did mention some things that are true about it that you can tell it's not on a technical level, especially in terms of the quality of like the camera and the lighting. You can tell it was very much done by people who are working with what they have, and it's done well, but just by the sheer limitations of the budget, it just can't be as quality on a technical level.
I'll tell you what grade you should give it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's all based off of how you answer this question.
All right.
Do you think Clerks is a comedy classic?
Absolutely.
Then I think you should give it an excellent minus.
All right. Excellent minus.
There
I'm in.
You go. 'Cause Clerks
That's
is
what
not,
I was talking myself like, towards anyway.
Yeah. I mean, like the thing with Clerks is like, you know, it's the first effort of a director, and it's like, you know, there's stuff that definitely could have been done better in the movie, but the jokes are fucking solid and make you laugh.
And
that's,
center
to me,
of it
the
is
ultimately
there.
Important thing in a comedy.
Yeah, the jokes are there and the center is there. Like, you can tell it was written by people who ended up working on other comedies and other comedy movies for a reason.
I'll start off with Safety Not Guaranteed. I'm going to give it an excellent. There's not too much I can really distract from that. The character developments in that movie were great. I mean, they really spent time on a lot of different characters in that movie. I mean, even the geeky intern where they actually showed like the editor,
even he grows.
Editor like actually like, you know, really caring about this other person on his on his staff, I guess, is for lack of a better word. And, you know, just actually like bringing him up and, you know, getting him some loving.
And roller coasters.
So for that, I'm going to give it an excellent. Mystery Team, I'm going to probably not be really liked with this. I'm going to give it a satisfactory minus.
I can see that. I don't think that's absurd.
And watching it, it was really grainy and almost to the
point. You might have had a worse quality than me because mine was really, well, it was clear. It was not like amazing definition, but it wasn't. The copy I watched is not grainy.
The copy I watched was.
How did you guys watch it?
I own the DVD.
Okay.
I don't own the DVD.
All right. That's
so maybe it's not. Maybe some of that is not the movie's fault.
And there could be a fair amount of that. So
can we maybe hedge it toward the satisfactory if the quality is better than the not owning it quality of the DVD?
Okay. So I'm going to still stick with satisfactory minus based on what I saw. So, I mean, if I had seen a
better copy
of it.
So it has the potential to go up.
Yeah.
What would you say? Like, let's say that's fixed in a DVD quality. How high would you go then?
It's really hard to say because some of it just really drug me out of the moment. So, I mean, that's where it really, really like lost points in my book. And like you brought up earlier, there was a lot of jokes that were thrown at you.
A ton.
And for the most part, just, I think a younger me would have enjoyed this a lot more than the older me. So, I mean, it just, there was a lot that really distracted from me. So that's where I'm going to base my grade. But some of it, like the strip club scene was
it's phenomenal.
Like that whole like beginning where
they're dealing with the bouncer and he's like, do you have IDs?
And they just, well, like, give him like a high school like hall pass, a sketch that somebody had given. And just like, he's like, I don't want to fucking deal with it.
Like, do you have cash? And they pull out like four. He's like, whatever. Just go in.
To the end where he's pulling the ring out of the toilet where... Just describing every like detail
or
of
the
it.
Bit towards the end of the movie where you find out the snotty little monster kid whose mom works at the strip club has been shot 3 times and he's like 11 years old.
That's white privilege.
Like, there was a lot of great moments in that, but it was just felt like it was missing a lot to me. So satisfactory minus. So fill those seats so we don't have to.
Hey man, thanks for coming out to meet me. I've just been so down lately.
No problem, man. What's the matter?
It's so hard to talk about. My batting average isn't quite what it used to be.
Your batting average?
My drive shaft doesn't have the kind of torque I'm looking for, if you catch my drift.
So you're feeling some depression from your erectile dysfunction?
Some? I'm only feeling depression from my erectile dysfunction.
You know, something that helps me is the Not Safe for Network.
Not Safe for Network? What's that?
Not Safe for Network.
Side effects include blueberries. That's available. We have a good life. Montauk Skies. Box Office Battle. Within Men. And shooting the show. Do not take Not Safe for Network if you're on Cialis, Viagra, John Legend, or Comedy Central commercials at 4 a.m.
Not Safe for Network.
Wow. My whole world is new. Thanks, Not Safe for Network.
Not Safe for Network. Putting the function back in erectile dysfunction.
Not Safe for Network.